Well, I think you've already had your sermon from Atlanta, and again from that beautiful hymn. I remember as a kid, over lunch after church, we might be commenting on the sermon or the preacher, and maybe not thinking we've got much out of it, and my mother would say, "Don't rely on the preacher. You go to worship God. Listen to the words of the hymn. Listen to the youth time. God is always speaking to us." And it's a privilege for me to be able to try to preach here today on this anniversary Sunday. And I invite you to pray with me as we prepare to do that. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All Saints Sunday is a good day to celebrate the church's anniversary, and Anniversary Sunday is the perfect time to think about saints. So I wonder, have you ever met a saint? I mean a real, live, bona fide person saint. The answer to that question would probably depend on one's definition of sainthood. So how about this for a definition of a saint? A saint is one who lives his or her life as a servant of God. I like that. A saint is one who lives his or her life as a servant of God. Most of us, when we hear the word saint, think of the great saints of past history, those women and men who committed their lives to Jesus Christ and the church, many of whom were martyred for their faith. We remember the earliest apostles, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Stephen. We think of Mary, the mother of our Lord, and St. Mary Magdalene, the first witness of the resurrection. And then there were the great missionaries, St. Luke, the evangelist, St. Barnabas, St. Patrick, those who spent their lives spreading the gospel around the world. And how about the great defenders of the faith, people like St. Augustine, who helped define what we Christians believe. We also remember the kind and gentle saints like St. Francis of Assisi, who showed us the beauty and simplicity of life. The list goes on and on. It's a long and distinguished list of great women and men recognized as saints by the church. But for the most part, saints are people who have lived a long time ago in a different time, in a different place. They're people we honor and remember, but people largely separated us from us today. Most people I know would not think of themselves as a saint simply because they think they aren't good enough. Perhaps they think they need to rid themselves of some personal flaws before they could possibly think of themselves as authentic servants of God. But you know, I don't believe it has to be that way. In The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren points out that God often uses imperfect people. Abraham and Sarah were old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused, and Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral, and David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal, Jeremiah was depressed, Jonah was reluctant, Naomi was a widow and very poor, John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least, and Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular, Thomas had doubts, Paul had poor health, and Timothy was timid. It's quite a list of misfits, if you ask me. But the point is, God used each of them in God's service. And I believe that God will and does use us as well. But you see, we don't have to wait until we're perfect to start serving God. In fact, it's by doing good that we become spiritually strong. Helping others leads to holiness. So don't let your limitations stand in the way of your service to others and to God. And think for a moment of some of the people you know who do exemplify holiness by the way they live in their service to others and to their Lord. We've all known such people. In over 40 years of pastoral ministry, being a minister to the ministers, I've rubbed shoulders with many saints. Usually they go about their business in a quiet, unassuming way. They receive little recognition for what they do, nor do they seek it. These are the people who take the gospel seriously. They live it, they practice it in their daily lives, and they serve as an example of the presence of Christ in the world. These are the saints who make it easier for others to believe in God. So what about us? Most of us are not candidates for canonization by the church, nor do we live lives of exceptional holiness or virtue. So where do we fit in on this All Saints Sunday? Is it only a time to remember those who have gone before us? Is it only a time to pause and honor those whose lives are especially pious and exemplary? I think not. We celebrate All Saints Day because our Lord sees things differently. We may be sinners. We may stumble and fall. We may be far from perfect. At least I know I am. But Jesus sees us as saints. How can that be, you ask? What does our Lord see that we don't? Well, perhaps the operative word here is grace. The good news, the reason for celebration today, is that we have been made and are being made and shall continue to be made holy. Not by what we do, not by what we say, but by the grace of God. All of which brings us to another definition of saints, which is simply this, and I think this is my favorite. A saint is a forgiven sinner. A saint is a person who believes that in Jesus Christ, new life is possible. Such faith in Jesus does not make us perfect or sinless. We will, in fact, continue to stumble and fall. But the good news is that we're no longer hopelessly sinful. As saints called by the church, we have the power of the risen Christ working in us all the time, urging us always to new life in Christ, empowering us to be servants of the living God. I love the story of a young girl standing alone in a silent, dark sanctuary of her church, watching the sunlight coming through the beautiful stained glass windows, streaming colors of red and yellow and blue and green, fashioned into the figures of the servants of the church. The figures were alive with color and memory and the warmth of the sun, and suddenly the little girl sensed something moving in the sanctuary, and she knew that she wasn't alone. The custodian, seeing the look of awe and reverence on her face as she stared at the brightly colored saints, broke the silence by saying, "Do you know what a saint is?" The child smiled at the man with the broom, and looking once again at the shining saints, she said, "A saint is a person who lets the light shine through." A saint is a person who lets the light shine through them. I've been blessed, doubly blessed, both in my personal life and in my vocation, to be in company with saints who have helped me believe in God, people who have let the light shine into my darkness, women and men of faith serving their God, serving God's church, being a lifeline and a life giver, one who has let the light shine through. If I was Catholic, I would nominate a few people I've known to be recognized as saints, but I probably won't get that opportunity, so I'll do it today. And the first candidate I'd like to nominate for sainthood is someone I didn't even know, whose achievement is inseparable from the fact that she served as a pastor. And to appreciate and understand this particular pastor's story, we need to go back many years. back to the founding of the United Church of Canada. 97 years, really not that long in human history or as the church history goes, but far enough back that most of us can't remember. My mother remembered and used to tell me about that day of church union being celebrated at her church in Harrison. She was 7 years old. She told me that she remembered people showing up in church that had never been there before, people from other denominations and other congregations. But to get the feel for the whole story, we need to look back at history and we need to rely on the photos and the memories of other people. For instance, when you look at the photos of the ordained and lay delegates who met here in Toronto, just up the street at Metropolitan or at Mutual Street Arena, on June the 10th, 1925, when our United Church of Canada came into being, when you look at those black and white images, you notice something very significant. And that is that all the main participants, the decision makers, the officials, the celebrants, the inner circle, if you will, is an unbroken sea of men. Not a woman among them. Lydia Grucci was born in 1895 in Paris, France. So she was 30 when church union occurred. She was born in France, but her family moved to Canada and became homesteaders in Saskatchewan. And I suppose that Lydia, had it not been for the First World War, might have chosen to spend her life on a farm, probably somewhere in Saskatchewan. The war, however, changed all of that. Lydia's brother, Arthur, a brother who had been planning to become a minister, was killed during that war. And Lydia resolved to devote the rest of her life to God and the church. So she studied at the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon. In fact, she was a classmate of Cora Mooney, who was a member of the first church I served after ordination in Plenty, Saskatchewan. And when I was visiting Cora one day, she showed me her class photo from the University of Saskatchewan and pointed out her classmate, Lydia. After graduating with her BA, Lydia then studied theology at St. Andrew's College in the same city, and when she graduated in 1923, she did so at the top of her class. But unlike her fellow classmates, and I say fellow because they were all men, when Lydia graduated, she could not go on to become a minister because in the United Church of Canada, only men were ordained. But that didn't stop her. Such things rarely stop God's saints. Lydia simply went ahead and began the work of a lay minister, serving a variety of congregations in rural Saskatchewan. On an average Sunday, she might lead 4 or 5 different services of worship, driving great distances to do so. The dedication of this woman and the effectiveness of her ministry made all sorts of United Church people begin to ask some very tough and searching questions. In 1926, Lydia requested ordination as a minister of the United Church of Canada, and it was a request that she had to repeat every 2 years while the debate over the ordination of women raged through the infant church. In the interim, she proved her competency by accepting pastoral charges shunned by ordained men because of the difficult work involved. In 1936, 11 long years after union, the United Church amended its manual and Lydia Grucci was finally ordained, the first female minister in the United Church of Canada, which she served until her retirement in 1962 at the age of 67. And although I never met the woman, and while I can think of many 20th century pastors who served with integrity and made a difference, I think no one was more worthy of being nominated a saint than Lydia, as one who let the light shine through. There are many other names that we could put forward, women and men who have pointed us toward God, women and men and children who have proclaimed the gospel and made known the grace and the love of God. It could be any one of the names etched in the windows and plaques around this sanctuary, your friends and family who have inspired us and empowered us to walk with confidence and faith and hope. While I was working on this sermon, I heard Josh Groban on the radio singing that beautiful song originally composed and sung in 2002 by the Norwegian-Irish duo Secret Garden, "You Raise Me Up." It made me think of the saints who have raised me up. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I'm on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly, but when you come and I'm filled with wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. You've known saints like that, who raised you up to stand on mountains, to walk on stormy seas, to be more than you can be. But have you ever noticed the saints that have touched your life and mine often don't even know they are saints? A saint is one who, without awareness, gives us that glimpse of beauty. A saint is one who doesn't even recognize that he or she is calling your attention to the God who seeks you. A saint is one who brings life to the party without even trying. Saint John the Divine, in his revelation, shares with us his vision, several glimpses of heaven, and what the life of the saints is like there. In that glimpse, we see the heaven as a multitude that no one can count, a multitude from every nation and tribe and people and language. We see as well that there next to God there is neither hunger nor thirst nor heat nor pain of any kind, and that God himself wipes the tears from the saints' eyes. Friends, no one, not even John, can really tell us just how wonderful heaven is, and certainly no one can tell us where it is and what it feels like to be there. But also, no one can tell me that heaven does not exist. I believe the saints are there, the saints we remember this day. I believe it because at times I feel them around me, lifting me up, telling me to hang in there, telling me to be faithful, telling me to preach Christ, to preach hope and grace and goodness, telling me that something wonderful has happened to them and will happen to us as well. Not because of any goodness of our own, not because we deserve it, not because we have been faithful or obedient, but because God reached into our world through a woman and a man and a child, a manger and a cross and an empty grave to tell us that we are loved, to tell us that we are children of God. I've tried to do the impossible today, forgive me. I've tried to describe in poor and inadequate terms what a saint is like or what heaven is like. But what I really want to do is to describe the great lengths that God has gone to show us that God cares. And that whether or not we believe in God, God believes in us. And for that reason, we try to follow the blueprint Jesus gives for becoming a saint, to love your enemies, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you, to bring healing and wholeness to this broken world, and to let God shine through to the glory of God and God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. On this anniversary Sunday, may God help us to be the people God needs us to be, that this world, our church, and our community may grow in love and grace. Amen.